With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Everybody's fired up. We got to get Jim Irsay on the line. Then we're going to feel even better about everything that's going on
Zay
here.
Zay Quentin.
Hey, fired up.
Yeah. Let's go get it, man.
Sounds like Otto from That's Who It
Sounds
Is.
Sounds like Joe Walsh. Oh, yeah. There's a little Otto the bus driver.
Yeah, Otto sure. The bus driver.
Sure.
Right?
Here's Hotel California.
Hey. Hub Arkish is on Twitter at @Hub_Arkish, director of football content for Shaw Media and the editor of Pro Football Weekly. And he joins us now. You feeling better about Roquan Smith today than you did yesterday?
Well, listen, Roquan Smith's a really good football player. And you know, when you look at where the Bears were, and Ryan Pace talked about having eight guys they loved. We know that at least four of them, including Smith, were there. My suspicion is that there were five. I think there probably was a deal to be made when you realize that the Raiders traded out of 10, the Packers traded out of 14, the Ravens traded out of 16. But, you know, you don't trade down if you think you're getting a special football player. And there's never been any debate. I never had any doubts that he was the best linebacker in the draft. It's not that I don't feel good about it. I think the question that now has to be answered is, does he make the football team better? Have they improved themselves by upgrading inside linebacker? And yet, at least in the first round, not having been able to address some significant needs.
What's it going to take for Roquan Smith to make that size a little bit undersized meaningless in the NFL? What's he going to have to do to counteract it?
Well, I think what everybody loves about him, Connor, is that he is, I don't know if he's the fastest, but he's the best run and hit guy in this draft as far as being able to go sideline to sideline. You know, the best tonic for his lack of size is playing behind Akeem Hicks, who's going to eat double teams. And, you know, Eddie Goldman quite possibly could too. It seems pretty clear at this point that what the Bears and Vic Fangio are trying to do is pretty much recreate the same defense that he oversaw in San Francisco. Everything they did there was built around Patrick Willis and Navarro Bowman, who were both perennial Pro Bowlers during that 3 to 5 year stretch. And in Trevathan and Smith, you've now got an identical pair inside who are four down linebackers. They don't come off the field. They're going to be two of the better coverage guys in the NFL. And so I don't think you can avoid the fact that you still desperately need pass rush. You still need another starting safety. But they're building it, you know, piece by piece. And I can only guess that the conversation last night was, this may be the best defensive player in the draft. We're getting him at 8. He probably should have gone 4 or 5. Do we pass on that to address a need and maybe add an extra asset or two? And the answer was no.
Is he a smart and polished enough player to be in play, to have the speaker in his helmet? You know, from everything we hear about him and seeing how that kind of got passed around last year, Nick Kwiatkowski had it at one point, there's nothing that has been said about him that would lead me to believe that he would have a difficult time being the diagnostician and quarterbacking that side of the ball.
You know, Dan, I'm sure that was the plan, or is the plan, I should say. Now, it was also and is the plan with Danny Trevathan when they signed him as a free agent, and it was because the fact that he struggles to stay on the field more than 4, 5, 6 weeks in a row that speaker keeps getting passed around. So do they bypass Trevathan now and go right to Smith? I wouldn't think so on day one, but I think they absolutely see that in him. You know, Trevathan's only 27 years old, but he's still, what, a 6-year vet. Smith's got those 6 years at least in front of him. So my guess is that'll happen eventually. You know, I think the only thing that troubles me a bit about it is that when you look at the position, you've invested a 4th-round pick in Kwiatkowski, who you liked and thought was coming along. One of your bigger free agent signings has been Danny Trevathan, and yet going in last night and knowing that to become a better football team, you need to add talent at other positions, they thought upgrading a position they've already invested in was a better way to go. And I think it's possible they'll be proven right, but it kind of slows the rebuilding process and the improving of the football team.
Talk with Hub Arkish here on the Bernstein and McKnight Show. You know Hub, of course. You can hear him tomorrow. He's on with Big Cat from 8 a.m. to 12:45, leading up to a little Cub baseball, I would imagine. Hub, I wonder this. You mentioned that their need to upgrade at other areas, their desperate need for pass rush. Does a second day, this second round, with the players that are left, a couple of guys who fell into this round, guys like Josh Jackson and a couple of the running backs too, does that afford them the ability to trade back and pick up extra picks to help that? Or would you rather see them snag a guy in the top of the second round that can make an impact?
You know, it's obviously the question of the moment now, Connor, and it's interesting. I think the second round, you're still talking about good football players, even through the third round. There's a lot of talent left, but we always try and evaluate what's the strength. Well, right now, I'd say two or three of the best players on the board are still pass rushers, and they're going to have, six picks in front of them. They're going to pick seventh tonight, and I think the second and third best pass rushers in this draft are still there. I mean, Marcus Davenport, the Saints paid a fortune, really, if you think about it, an extra one to
Unreal.
Go up and get him. But some people had him number two. I actually had him number four. Harold Landry out of Boston College, Arden Key out of LSU. These are two kids who were rated the equal or even superior to Bradley Chubb going into the year last year, going into the college football season. Landry in particular had just a monster 2016 season, nothing but injury issues and was schemed and game planned last year, just didn't have as good a season. If you've got a clean medical on him, when you talk about style, when you talk about comp, when you talk about body type, the guy I see there is Aldon Smith, who was the other piece that they had in San Francisco. Now, they may not be comfortable with the medical, I don't know, but boy, if he's there at 39, and I'm the one who was screaming all day yesterday, they got to replace that third round pick. I don't think you can pass a player like that with the needs that you have. The safety issue is gone now. Now you wonder, is Adrian Amos going to be the guy? They can certainly draft another one, but how much better they're going to be than Deion Bush, DeAndre Hall, the kids they've got behind him, I don't know. You've also, in my estimation, got the second best offensive guard in the draft on the board. That's Will Hernandez. Really surprised that he slipped out of the first round, especially when Isaiah Wynn went ahead of him and went to the Patriots at 23. Remember we talked yesterday, I said there were a few medicals that some teams were really concerned about. I didn't want to name them because I didn't want to be the guy that cost him a draft spot. Wynn was one of them. I know of several teams that had him off their board because of concerns about the shoulder. Now there's other teams that liked him. Leighton Vander Esch, I think everybody knew this. Again, I just didn't want to name him yesterday. Another kid, the Cowboys take him really high when a number of teams had him off their board. But going in yesterday, we were looking at Fitzpatrick and James. We were looking at Quentin Nelson. Well, the second best option to each of them is still there. Those are still their two greatest needs. They could ease. I wouldn't be shocked if they were two of the first six kids off the board tonight. But if one of them's still there, then I got to think long and hard before I drop down. Now, other names to keep an eye out for, though, the pass rushers, a lot of good ones still there. Lorenzo Carter out of Georgia, you want another Georgia kid to go with, Floyd and Smith? I don't know, maybe.
Doesn't bother me. Well, they were pretty good.
Obviously, you've been scouting them, so I'm sure they're aware of him. Duke Elijah Four out of Wake Forest, he's another one with a questionable medical on him, but if you're comfortable with it. So if you're thinking, okay, with all the issues with Landry and Key, if Elijah Ford and Carter are still there, maybe we could trade down, 7, 8, 9 spots. But I don't know if that's far enough to get an extra three. So, and they do have 2 4s. So it's all about, how they've got them stacked on their board right now. There is plenty of pass rush talent. The offensive guard talent starts to get a lot thinner if you let Will Hernandez get away, although I think Braden Smith is still on the board, too. Those are the two guys, who are in that first group of offensive guards.
All right, what about wide receivers here? Cortland Sutton, Christian Kirk, Equanimeous St. Brown, Michael Gallup. There are James Washington. There's guys that we have discussed who are clearly NFL players just waiting to be selected.
Yeah, a ton of names there, and then there's everybody's favorite sleeper who's no longer a sleeper because everybody's talking about Anthony Miller at this point, who maybe lasts into the third round. A lot of the good wide receivers still there, a lot of depth there. If that's something that you're still focused on, there you probably could trade, you know, down 15, 20 spots and still get a good one, although there is going to be a run on them. My guess is that the two runs, this is what I was looking for on day two, that start the earliest are going to be with pass rushers and wide receivers, and because there's a few more wide receivers, you know, lumped in a group, the pass rushers will probably go first. But one thing that Ryan Pace absolutely proved last night, it was kind of the focus of my column for this morning, is that he clearly went with his best player on the board. And what Bears fans should feel really good about is, unlike the first 3 years where his best player on the board was as much about ceilings and traits and development, Roquan Smith is going to be the starter on day one. I have little doubt about that, and he's NFL ready. And so in that regard, I find the pick a lot more comforting than what we've come away from the first round the first 3 years. Again, I'm not saying good or bad, but just kind of the philosophy and the style behind it. I mean, this time you got one of the best players in the draft. I was really stunned. I knew that the Colts came down to Quentin Nelson and Roquan Smith, and you know, I think we talked about that. Yes, I know we talked about it in the hour we had before we actually the draft started. And I was a little surprised that they took Nelson over Smith, because Chris Ballard has done an outstanding job of drafting defensive talent, and I know he loves Smith. So it's a kid that there were several teams that were falling all over themselves for. I think the Bears got even with the 49ers last night, because I can tell you, I'm not so sure the 49ers didn't get caught flat-footed. There's no way that Mike McGlinchey is the ninth best player in the draft. There's not even any certainty he can play left tackle. And they loved Smith, and they may have felt, when the Bears saw those safeties there. They stole a really good player from a couple other teams that were very high on him.
What did you make of Josh Rosen's defiant comments about all these teams making a mistake and he's going to bury them all?
Well, I think most of the pre-draft concern that he was a total d- was pretty Ooh. Much concerned last night. confirmed is the word I want. I mean, it's temperament, it's attitude, it's exactly what teams didn't like about him. You know, there were all kinds of ways to present that, and I think he came across really poorly.
Well, let's see, the stream listeners got a little treat there. If you're rolling well on that, that might not have made it over the old airwaves, but you certainly got a little cookie on the stream there from
Hobbs. Whoa, wait a minute, you can't say that on the air?
Apparently not, although I think... apt as it may be, huh? Yeah. Oh. Apt as it may be.
D-bag, maybe, and...
I apologize. I had no idea.
Oh, God, I don't mind at all, but...
No apologies Lord, needed I'm fine whatsoever, with it. But yes, that's...
I'll bet you if our female demographic was bigger, they'd be a sponsor. You know, it's a...
come on.
I didn't say it again. I'm sorry.
Seriously, man. What are we doing here?
I didn't realize. I guess I'm just digging the hole deeper.
Don't worry. It's fine.
Hub is going to be hosting on these very same airwaves.
Maybe I'll be hosting.
With Big Cat Williams tomorrow from 8 to 12:45, looking over some of these picks. I would think that when Ryan Pace said what he said about maybe trading up, when he said it last night, is he just inviting offers? Is that just his way of saying, yeah, sure, I'm open to anything and trying to keep everybody guessing? I wonder how actively he's going to pursue some of these things.
So when you say maybe trading up today? Or
yeah.
I don't know. I didn't, to be honest with you, we were hustling to meet deadlines and I didn't hear all of his press conference. No, I'm sure he's serious. One of the most fun, I was surprised at the level of conversation yesterday of people, you know, really starting to get fed up with this and saying, why can't we go back to 2 days? I'd love it if it was all one day. One day would probably be too much, but 2 days I thought was much better. The one advantage of the 3 days is it gives you these two overnight periods, you know, where you can now study the board again. You can restack your board. And again, there's some very good football players available. This was a draft with, you know, the focus on the quarterbacks and I think some focus on running backs that people lost sight of. You always wonder how big is it at the top? Is it seven players, did with blue chippers, seven players, 12 players, whatever? It wasn't overly strong at the top. I think, you know, if you take out the quarterbacks, it ran about eight or nine deep. But then you say, are there more than 32 first-round potential first-rounders in there? I'm seeing at least a dozen to a dozen and a half kids that we had definite, you know, first-round, low first, high second-round grades. So, you know, on one hand, you could say there's enough talent there that you're not in a bad spot at seven today. But on the other hand, there's a couple players. Will Hernandez and Harold Landry are two of them. That's why I mentioned them. I'm going to be really a little surprised if the Giants don't take Mason Rudolph at number two tonight, you know, number 34. You got the Browns going 33 and 35 again. And so, you know, they could be tough to trade with because they still got a bunch of picks left. But, yeah, I think if the Bears see a guy – I don't think any of their eight are left, but they may have their 11th or their 13th player on the board still sitting there. Mm-hmm. And so if you see him, you come up and get him.
We got to talk about the Browns before we let you go. I know you mentioned that you were a fan of John Dorsey, and I am too. I was really fascinated by the offseason stuff and the free agency stuff that he was able to pull off. But at 1-4, I don't think anybody had Mayfield and Ward going and without a trade. It fascinates me that Mayfield is their guy and they didn't figure they could get him at four, and then the market never maybe developed. It's nuts to me. It was a little nuts.
You're
welcome. And I wondered what you thought of it.
I was proud of him for doing the right thing, and I've been, you know, preaching about this for months. Baker Mayfield is the best quarterback prospect in this draft. I don't think there's any debate about it. And if you're going to take one at one, you take the best. You know, now, did they seriously consider trading that pick? I don't think so, because everybody knew that the Jets were going to take him at three. Mm. So, clearly one or three, I had no problem with that at all. But I was quite frankly a little stunned when they took Denzel Ward at four, because there's no way that, to me, he's one of the top 10 prospects in this draft. Again, he was either the number one or number two cornerbacks on most people's board. And I know a lot of people love him. A lot of people think he's really good. A lot of people slotted him to Tampa at seven. A couple people mentioned him with the Bears. That was never going to happen after they re-signed both Kyle Fuller and Prince Amukamara, and for that matter, Bryce Callahan, too, and Marcus Cooper. Mm-hmm. Is he a top, you know, 14, top 16 pick? Absolutely. Would I have been stunned if he snuck in at nine or seven? No, but at four, I was really surprised by that, and I can tell you they weren't real happy in Cleveland. Now, you know, the good news, though, is that they're just absolutely loaded with picks, you know. So, yeah. To me, that was a clear need over best available athlete or best available player, and I hate when that happens, but I think that's pretty much the explanation for what he did it for.
Hub will be hearing a lot of you this weekend, and you never know what you're going to get when Hub's talking draft. So I appreciate you joining us and look forward to hearing you with Big Cat tomorrow.
Thanks, Hub.
All right, guys, take care.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.